Welcome to Elite Agent Investors, where we talk about next level tools, tech, and tactics used by the top 1% real estate professionals. I'm your host, Pete Thorpe. You can find me on social media at petethorpe.io. We bring on active real estate professionals, including agents, brokers, investors, and people in the space. Elite Agents Investors is sponsored today by RealFuel.ai. RealFuel.ai is a data provider for helping get lists and find off-market properties, as well as doing comps. You can find more about them at realfuel.ai. Today, we've got a published guest. His name is Rick Otten, like cotton without the C, and he's coming to us today from Bali. Rick owns Subliminal Silence Mastery in Real Estate, so I think it's going to be a really good conversation for our guests. Rick, welcome to Elite Agent Investors.
Right. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. So, our opening question, as always, is tell me one thing that you've learned since becoming an elite agent investor that's tipped the scales in your favor and helped you level up faster.
I think the fact that the way we communicate, 7% is the words we use, 38% is the tonality, and 55% is the subliminal science. And becoming mastery of subliminal science means I've been able to influence the messages I give to people at a level below conscious awareness, which has been able to triple my sales. And usually I just get a very, very, very high closing rate because of the way I'm able to message people at a level below conscious awareness.
That's so it, to me, as the layman,
yeah.
Clearly not a practitioner in that space yet, but now I'm definitely interested in that. Would most people out there consider that maybe something like NLP, or is it something different than that?
Yeah, you can find it the family. Like I did the first body language book with a guy called Alan Pease back there in 1980. And so quite often you'll get a hunch or a gut feeling about something. You just don't understand at a conscious level what the elements are that you saw or experienced that gave you that gut feeling or a hunch about something. And what subliminal science is all those millions of little messages that you're giving to somebody. So for instance, if you're left-handed, I would always stand to your right. And if I stand to your right and you're left-handed, you're going to find you connect with me and you'll just agree with what I say. If I stand on the other side of you on your left-hand side, you won't. You'll disagree with what I say. So a lot of the movements of what we do and how we position ourselves, even rooms that we go into, has a lot to do with how people feel about us and what they will and what they won't do.
I can see that being super effective, in especially in real estate, when you meet somebody in their home, picking up on those cues could definitely position you as more of a professional and kind of put you in that power position where they're kind of going to go along with what you're recommending. Not because of that.
We all have personal zones and territory, especially within the house. You could say that the kitchen traditionally is the woman's territory, the home office, the man's. So depending on what room I'm in at the house when I'm speaking, has a lot to do with the outcome I'm going to get just picking the right room to be doing business in.
So I obviously finding that space, knowing your audience is where that really comes down to.
Absolutely. So it's just like, it's kind of like having the unfair, understanding subliminal science is just having the unfair advantage of things just go right more often than not going right. Because how often we walked out of a transaction, the transaction didn't come together. We're thinking we had the greatest thing going. Why didn't that come together? Right. And quite often it's because we've walked over people's zones or territories, or we've done things that we just don't understand that we've done that made people feel not that great about us.
So if somebody wants to kind of get into this, either find out more about it or kind of learn some of these tips and techniques, what would you recommend that they do?
You know, subliminal science was a little bit like what body language back was in 1980. Before the book came out, body language, the only thing in existence was scientific journals and Darwin's Book of Evolution. The book Body Language was designed to be written so a 12-year-old could read it, and it took to a conscious level that the layman in the street could understand body language and what it did. And it went from a nothing science. Subliminal science is the same thing. It's a bit woo-woo if you don't know what the elements are. All of a sudden, we're starting to realize, and people begin to realize, that if you understand subliminal science, you have an unfair advantage. You know, I mean, I put out books and programs and courses about it, and that's only really recently, because over 40 years, people have been saying to me, why don't you ever write something on subliminal science, knowing that you're involved in body language and talk language 30 and 40 years ago?
Yeah, it's definitely something that's interesting. And I would expect with the amount of people that are just online and everything is consumed digital, Sometimes it's actually hard to get face to face with people, so you're having to communicate either over a podcast or Zoom meetings and whatnot, depending on where you are. So while the communication barrier has, shrunk in terms of how easy it is to get somebody, getting that face to face time is, I think, much harder. So knowing something like what you're kind of talking about would be super helpful for when you finally do get into that position to speak with somebody.
Yeah, and even if it's just even if we're just doing like a Zoom call now, I can tell from how often you look at me and your blink rate as to what degree out of 100% you're going to agree with what I'm saying, or to what degree you're going to disagree, basically by me just looking at blink rates. There's an old expression that says people who look at you more than two-thirds of the time love you, people who look at you less one-third of the time hate you. So you just got to watch the eyes, right? I mean, I'm being really general here just to give you some real nuggets. But even like where you put a document on a table, this is where people don't get it right. You put a document on someone to look at, you can only ever put a document in the middle of a table. If you push a document in front of somebody, you've walked into their territory without permission of being there. The other person will get anxious, they'll shut down, they'll may never make a decision to buy. And it's the same as someone having an empty plate of food in front of them in the restaurant. They'll always move the plate because they get anxious. So you just got to be careful about these various things, because the difference between people wanting to do the deal, not wanting to do the deal, and not really t doing too sure why they felt the way they feel.
I could see, especially with the paperwork situation, I could easily see we're putting it in the, putting it in the middle of the table so they reach out and take the paperwork is much better than you kind of pushing the paperwork to them, whether you're doing it like aggressively or just handing it to them, kind of makes it sort of like, walls go up.
Yeah, and it's as simple as if I put it in front of your right eye, you'll take acceptance around it. And if I put it in front of your left eye, you won't. It gets back to how we read a book. The right page of a book represents our future, where we're going, and the left page represents the past. So whenever you do put a document on a table, always put it in the front of the person's right eye, not their left eye. They're more likely to grab it and want to sign it.
Oh, nice. There's a tip for you right now that you can go put straight into practice.
Yeah,
It's
exactly
funny
right.
you mentioned like looking at people, especially when obviously we're on Zoom here. And I actually have a teleprompter that I just got in. I need to connect and set up because for me personally, I hate when I'm not able to actually look at somebody. So I'm always trying to kind of look at where the camera is, which is, a little bit above the monitor.
Yeah.
I've seen a few people come out with like little pinhole cameras in the center so that you can be looking kind of straight at the at the person while you're
Yeah,
talking with
right.
them. Because right now I'm looking at the camera, so I wouldn't be able to tell unless I sort of look slightly off screen. If I'm looking directly at you, I wouldn't be able to tell your blink rate because I'm trying to pay attention to the camera so that I'm speaking to you and you can see me.
Yeah.
So that, again, going back to that being in front of somebody physically or digitally, knowing those cues and knowing what to look for is definitely something that I think would be very
Well,
helpful.
yeah, and also when you do look at a camera, you just look at someone's iris, right? When they get excited, it'll expand by 9 times, and when they're dishonest, the iris will shrink. That's why your parents would have sent you when you were a little kid. You got beady little eyes. You've heard the expression, you got beady little eyes. Or your mum used to say to you, "Now look at me in the eye and tell me where have you been," because your mum, at a subconscious level, was reading the iris size. She just didn't understand. She had a hunch about, "You're lying." But what she actually saw was a shrinking of the iris. She just didn't know at a conscious level what she saw.
My wife tells my daughter, I never ask you a question that I don't already know the answer to.
Yeah, there we go. Clever. Clever, yeah.
So I could, that's, and, that probably explains why poker players wear the glasses.
That's
They might.
exactly why poker players wear glasses, because they don't want you to see the iris.
And I
Yeah.
just thought it was they were trying to, trying to be clever or throw somebody off, but this makes much more sense having an actual
No, in
reason why.
actual fact, in the 50s, Coca-Cola used to get up on the billboard and paint the irises bigger and black so you'd get more excited about Coca-Cola by looking at those billboards, because an excited iris makes you excited.
Wow. I bet you that's used in advertising everywhere.
Yeah, well, there's some rules about what you can do now and what you can't do in advertising, because it's so easy to, I guess, send messages that people don't even know are being sent, right? So that, yeah, there are things you can't do on advertising anymore.
Well, do you have any parting words of wisdom for our audience?
Yeah, parting words of wisdom would be this: is I always say, ask lots of questions, right? I only ever ask questions. And the thing is, at a very simple level, watch the body language. Body language is either really positive or really anti, right? and start learning more about subliminal science. It is a subject which, like body language, you're hearing it for the first time today, but within 5 years, everybody will be talking about subliminal science. It's just the new thing.
Okay, awesome. Rick, where can people find you if they wanted to check you out online or purchase any of your books?
Yeah, well, I have a look. I've got a couple of books on, people can get there for free. If they just go to a URL called buymeadrinkfirst.com, buymeadrinkfirst.com, they can download my books for free. And I only did that because I ran a bar once. I wanted to increase the sales. So I said to people to get the password, ask the barman what the password was. When they went to the barman, they'd say, "What's the password?" I'd say, "Buy me a drink first." Then they'd buy me a drink. That's a, so it's a great way to getting more drink sales in the bar. But anyway, go to buymeadrinkfirst.com and it's a place you can grab my books right there on subliminal science and then creative strategies on real estate using very little money.
Fantastic. Guys, make sure you go check that out. We'll go ahead and put it down in the link below so that you can go straight to that. And Rick, thanks for being here. And once again, guys, if you're looking for data for your real estate business, looking to do some data mining, looking for off-market deals, or if you're just looking for a tool to give you really good comps, go to realfuel.ai. We'll see you on the next one.